Hi, welcome to Strategy, Leadership, and Impact with your host, Blake Repine. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of Strategy, Leadership, and Impact. Hope you've been well since the last time you listened in. A couple of updates. My audiobook for The Leadership Path is nearly done. I know I've been talking about it for a few episodes now, but it's just in the final stages, almost there. So can't wait. Very exciting. It's always a long process, particularly when you're involved with it, whereas from the outside looking in, it may just seem like, bam, there it is. But definitely on this side of things, looking at all the steps it has to go through, just like whenever you do a print book or print or an ebook, the number of steps it has to go through once you have that draft done. Same thing. I've done a draft of the audio version. It's nearly done through the editing stages and hopefully will be released very soon. So just watch out for that. Other than that, not a lot's been happening. Just normal work stuff, board stuff, just everyday life. And then focusing on hobbies and really on the weekends or whenever I have downtime, just disconnecting, spending time with the family, relaxing. And sometimes that includes, you know, disconnecting from social media, disconnecting from everything else and just relaxing and focusing on things that matter. Don't want to bore you with all that stuff. On to this week's topic. And this week, I really want to talk about financial metrics or business metrics and financial ratios and different things you need to look at within the business. And as a CEO, senior executive, board member, whatever, your understanding of financial metrics is not just important, it's empowering. So it's the key to unlocking the organization's success, really. And regardless of what industry you're in, if you strive to be at the top of the organization or doing board work, regardless of what your background is, you really do need to understand financial metrics. And if you don't now, I encourage you to seek out opportunities for improvement in that area, whether it be through experience or take a short course. There's tons and tons of different YouTube videos, podcasts that talk about different financial metrics and different ways to understanding it. But really put yourself in positions to where you're looking after a budget, you're actually looking at financial ratios, you're looking at how all these things affect it, because it's a cause and effect relationship with what the business does and what the finances do. So again, encourage you, if you don't know it, you need to, particularly if you ever want to be at the top of any organization or lead any organization. It's incredibly important. I just wanted to kind of today demystify some of those crucial financial metrics that every business leader needs to be well versed in. And I don't say you just need to know it, but you do need to be well versed in it. And it gives you the control and the confidence to steer your company, whatever it is, towards prosperity. And this applies whether it's a for-profit or not-for-profit. The difference between a for-profit and a not-for-profit organization is how they distribute the profits. So most of the time, for-profits, they distribute the profits for personal gain, whether it be that stockholder who holds shares within the organization or the individual company director. A not-for-profit reinvests the majority of its profits back into the organization to achieve whatever goal it is they're trying to achieve, you know, whether it's a social issue or whatever. Fill in the blank. But that's the only difference between a for-profit and a not-for-profit organization. Just because you're a not-for-profit organization does not mean that you don't need to have profits, because you do. And whenever you have profits, that means you can be sustainable and you can reinvest in the organization for its sustainability and long-term. On to this list. The first one on our list is revenue. Think of revenue as the lifeblood of a business, the total amount of money that flows in through its primary activities, whatever those activities are, such as selling products or services. And it's often called the top line because it's the first thing you see in any income statement. Going back to my little talk there around for-profits, not-for-profits, if you don't have revenue, your organization isn't going to last very long. So you have to have revenue. And understanding where that revenue comes from, how you actually bring that revenue in, goes a long way in actually increasing that revenue or opening up additional markets and things to bring in another source of revenue. The next one I want to talk about is profit margins. So I've already mentioned profit. Now there's some profit margins that indicates a company's profitability. And it measures how much of each dollar in revenue translates into profit. There's various different types of profit margins, such as gross margin, operating margin, net margin, that can really provide insights into your business's profitability. And I'll kind of break each one of those down here in just a second. So whatever you call it, whichever one you decide is the most important for your organization, just understand what it means. So a gross margin, it's a financial metric. It represents the percentage of revenue remaining after you deduct the cost of goods sold from the total revenue. So in other words, it measures the profitability of a company's core business activities, excluding other expenses such as operating expenses, taxes, interest, and depreciation. Normally, to calculate your gross margin, typically would use gross margin is equal to revenue minus cost of goods sold divided by revenue times 100%, and that gives you a percentage. So a higher gross margin indicates that a company generates more revenue than its cost of producing the goods or services that it's producing, which is generally seen as favorable. It's an essential metric, again, for assessing a company's operational efficiency and profitability at the most fundamental level. So investors, analysts, business leaders, they use gross margin to evaluate a company's financial health, and they compare performance against competitors, and they make strategic decisions around this. So the next one that we mentioned was operating margin. That is a financial metric. It's used to assess a company's profitability and efficiency in generating revenue from its core business operations. This represents the portion of revenue after deducting operating expenses such as wages, raw materials, rent, utilities, and depreciation. And it's calculated very similar to gross margin in that its operating margin is equal to your operating income divided by your revenue times 100%. So we're not doing that extra step of dividing by revenue again. And again, that's expressed as a percentage. And now operating income is the difference between a company's gross income, revenue minus the cost of goods sold, and operating expenses. So operating margin is typically expressed as a percentage, like I said before, and it indicates the portion of each dollar of revenue that represents the profit before interest and taxes are deducted. So this one, it hasn't deducted interest and taxes yet. And a high operating margin indicates that a company is more efficient at controlling its operating expenses than its revenue. And that can signify strong operational performance and potentially higher profitability. And then conversely, a lower operating margin could suggest that a company faces challenges really in controlling cost and generating sufficient revenue from its core operations. It just means that pretty much your organization is inefficient. And then the last one that I mentioned is that net profit margin, or sometimes just called net profit or net margin. Net profit margin is typically expressed as a percentage, but can also be represented in decimal form. And I've seen companies do it both ways. And the net profit margin, it really illustrates how much of each dollar in revenue a company collects translates into profit. And some key takeaways around net profit margin is net profit margin measures how much net income is generated as a percentage of revenue received. Net profit margin helps investors assess if a company's management is generating enough profit from its sales and whether its operating costs and overhead costs are controlled. Again, going back to that efficiency within the organization. And net profit margin is one of the most important indicators of a company's financial health. If you're a for-profit or not-for-profit, you're going to have a profit margin. You need to understand that. If you have no profit margin or a negative profit margin, you're going to be going out of business fairly soon. Just something to take into account. Another important metric that I want to talk about is cash flow. And I've heard some people say cash flow is king. While revenue and profit are essential, cash flow keeps the lights on. So it measures the amount of cash coming in and going out of the business over a specific period of time. And positive cash flow means that the company generates more cash than it's spending, while negative cash flow could signal potential financial trouble. Just like in your own household budget, if you're spending more than you're making, you're going to go broke. You're going to be in a very bad situation. And that's one of the things you can look at. What's the cash flow of an organization? And if it's negative, you say, well, what's the chance we can actually turn it around and make it positive and make those changes? So moving on from that, let's discuss growth metrics. Growth metrics track the expansion development of a business over time. Some of the common growth metrics include customer acquisition rate, revenue growth rate, customer churn rate. Churn rate is your turnover, your customers. And understanding those is crucial for assessing the health and trajectory of your business. So going back to that customer acquisition rate, it is far more expensive for you to acquire a new customer than it is to keep your ones that you have now. So then you look at that customer churn rate. If you want to have an organization that builds brand loyalty, for example, you're building clients instead of just customers, you want long-term relationships over one-off transactions, you want that customer churn rate to be really low. If it is just one-off transactions, then you're looking at quantity over quality. You might not even track customer churn rate at all. But if you're a subscription-based service or a service-based business, you want to look at your customer churn rate, because if you're constantly turning over customers, you're going to be spending a lot of money trying to gain new customers. And sometimes the new customers aren't worth as much to the organization as your long-term customers. So you got to look at their long-term spend. What is their amount of spend year after year? Again, all these come into play whenever you're looking at these growth metrics. So now let's talk about a couple of financial ratios. Financial ratios, they really do provide valuable insights into a company's financial health and performance. And some key ratios include things like your debt to equity ratio, current ratio, and your return on investment. I know you'll hear these terms kind of bounced around quite a bit, but do you really understand them? I've come across a lot of people that have actually used these terms and they don't know what they are, don't know how to calculate them. What are they actually derived from? But by analyzing these ratios, you can actually gauge an organization's efficiency, their liquidity, their profitability, all those things. Since I mentioned debt to equity first, I'll actually talk about that one first. So the debt to equity ratio shows how much debt a company has compared to its assets. And it's found by simply dividing the company's total debt by total shareholder equity. And a high debt to equity ratio means that the company may have a harder time covering its liabilities. The next one we talked about was current ratio. And I've heard someone say one time that this is the very first ratio that they check as part of their due diligence whenever they're thinking about going on the board of an organization. Look at their financial statements real quick, calculate the current ratio and say, yep, it's good or nope, it's bad. There's several different things you can look at in regard to this. So a current ratio measures a company's ability to pay its short-term obligations or those due within 1 year. So whenever we talk about current, they're 1 year within the next 12 months. Non-current, whether it's non-current assets, non-current liabilities, means more than 12 months. So current, 12 months or less, non-current, more than 12 months. Whenever you look at a current ratio, it tells investors and company leaders how a company can maximize the current assets on its balance sheet to satisfy its current debt and other payables. So basically, can they sell off assets to pay debt? Can they actually cover their short-term debt? And you got to look at what is the industry average for the organization that you're looking at, if you can actually find that information. So because a current ratio that aligns with the industry average or slightly higher is generally considered acceptable. So a current ratio that's lower than the industry average may indicate high degrees of risk or default, meaning that the company might be going broke. Similarly, if they have a very high current ratio compared with its other people within the industry, management might not use its assets efficiently, or they're potentially not reinvesting back within the organization appropriately. So I've always heard current ratio, you want it to be at least one or above. So at a one, it means that its current liabilities and its current assets are equal. So if it's above a one, that's good. If it's below one, that means that they're going to have trouble meeting their short-term obligations. But if it's really high, like 3, 4, 5, I was working with one organization, it was like a 9.5. And you go, well, what is suffering? Because basically they're accumulating cash is what was happening. So you're accumulating all this cash. You have all this cash sitting in the bank. What do your assets look like within the organization? Have you been reinvesting back in the organization? Have you been reinvesting back in capital projects for the organization or whatever it is they're doing? So it's these questions that you need to ask. Again, it's all about that 12-month time frame within current. So just some key takeaways with current ratio. The current ratio compares a company's assets to its current liabilities. These are usually defined as assets that are cash, again, are they accumulating cash, or will be turned into cash in a year or less, and liabilities that will be paid in a year or less. So current ratio helps investors understand the company's ability to cover its short-term debt with its current assets and compare it to its competitors and peers. One weakness of the current ratio, though, is its difficulty in comparing and the measure across industry groups. And I mentioned this before. So if you're trying to compare it to other organizations or one organization to other organizations, you might actually have to go find the financial statements for those other organizations. Some investment platforms will also show some of these ratios on them already. It also can be overgeneralized or provide an overgeneralization of the specific asset and liability balances and the lack of trending information. So if they are below one now, is that a trend? Is that normal? Is there certain times during the year when that happens? You know, I know some organizations, they bring all of their income for the whole year, usually within a 2 to 3 month period. So the other years, their financial ratios can tend to erode as they're getting close to that end of that cycle, and then they'll pick back up again. So it's all these different things that you have to look at. And then the last one I mentioned, of course, was return on investment. So this is, it's an approximate measurement of an investment's profitability. It's calculated simply by subtracting the initial cost of the investment from its final value. Then you divide this new number by the cost of the investment and multiply it by 100. So you hear this, people talk about return on investment quite regularly. Oh, if I put this money in, what's going to be my return on investment? And they want some sort of guarantee. And most people that can guarantee a certain return on investment, you can always speculate, they're guesstimate. You can't really ever be specific until you've actually invested and you know what it's going to be, then you can determine what it is or wasn't. So if someone tells you they can do it up front, I'd question that sometimes. So, and last but not least, another key business financial metric is your key performance indicators. And in episode 21, I discussed 6 principles for developing KPIs. So be sure to check that episode out. KPIs, they're specific, measurable metrics that reflect a business's critical success factors. And one method I've seen to actually put up some KPIs is using the balanced scorecards, which that could be a topic for a whole nother day. But KPIs, they can vary widely depending on the industry and the business goals, and often include metrics like customer satisfaction, employee productivity, market share, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And identifying and tracking KPIs can help drive strategic decision-making and performance improvement, particularly in the financial area. Because like I said, the amount of revenue the company brings in, it's a cause and effect. So you've done something and it affects this amount of revenue to be brought in. So those things such as customer satisfaction that lead to customer retention, so your churn is less. Employee productivity, if your employees are more productive, they're getting more done, which actually will reflect in more revenue coming in potentially. Market share, the more market share you have, the more people are actually spending their money with you. All these lead into those financial metrics. So that's kind of a short down and dirty of some of the key ones. Again, if you're in an organization and you want to be in a leadership role one day, or you want to sit on a board one day, it is imperative that you go learn as much as you can about this. You don't have to be an accountant or financial whiz, but you do need to understand whenever you're sitting around that boardroom table and having these conversations, what these mean, how they're derived, and what that cause and effect relationship are. And the more you understand that, the more successful you're going to be. Oftentimes, it's people that understand things like this, and that's what separates you from other people that are just as good at their job as you are, is that you understand more about the business and what drives the business. I'd like to know your thoughts about this. Let me know what they are. If you're enjoying this podcast, please like, share, subscribe. Feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn and just find my name, Blake Repine. I'm the only one on there. Or send me an email at blakerepine@gmail.com. I've gotten some really good emails the last couple of weeks from listeners, and I really appreciate that. That's how this podcast actually came up. Quite happy to discuss anything along the lines of whatever it is that we do within this podcast around that strategy, leadership, impact. And at the end of the day, it's about sharing knowledge so that we can help each other to achieve whatever it is we want to achieve. Take care and talk to you again soon.